Good evening, everybody. This morning, we gave a class on one of the elements that is used by people at this time of year to try and achieve kapara, atonement. And we generally think of the blanket word teshuvah. Someone involves himself in repentance, they'll achieve kapara. Now, there's a difference between teshuvah and kapara. Kapara means atonement, which means it's paid up. It gets erased. Whether you owed $100, if you pay $100, you owe zero. That's kapara. Teshuvah brings you to kapara. Teshuvah is the repentance which has three main elements. Three main elements are that a person has to feel charata, to have to feel a regret. I feel bad. I didn't mean to eat it. I didn't mean to do it. Second thing is vidui, to say I did it, openly and outright say it, which is hatati aviti pashati, I transgressed and I did such and such, which is very important because a lot of people are in denial. A lot of people do things, know they did it, and they deny it. When a person who gambles too much goes to Gamblers Anonymous, the first thing they make him do or her do is stand up in front of everybody and say, I'm a gambler, can't control myself. And if somebody's a drinker, they stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. And if they don't say that, I understand that Weight Watchers have a similar thing, like I'm fat and I eat too much. But if you don't admit it, and you're in denial, and you don't confront it, you can't fix it. So the second element of teshuvah is vidui. And in fact, that's the mitzvah doraita. When a person does a sin, says the Torah, hitvadu ahatota. A person makes vidui. I did this particular sin. And the last is, some people consider the most difficult, but all three are very important and difficult, is to resolve never to do it again. So that would be teshuvah. Teshuvah is the first step to fixing what's wrong. And sometimes if it's a light transgression, it could be enough. But with certain types of sins, or if they were done too frequently, or if they're done with too much gusto, so Hashem weighs them as heavy, kapara, atonement may not be achieved until there's yisurim. Until somebody breaks a leg. You break the leg, yisurim, suffer a little bit. It's like taking out an eraser and wiping it away. Or in certain very serious cases, even the yisurim don't do the job. It also requires mita, death. This morning I spoke a lot about tefillah, prayer. And that particular CD should be out Wednesday. It'll be called Rosh Hashanah Efficient Tefillah. It's still in my pocket. And everybody grab a seat. Everybody grab a seat. Ooh, all the old regulars are back. It must be Elul. Woo! Everybody's making teshuvah. So, when the tefillah tape comes out on Wednesday, you can all listen to it. But tonight I decided we should take one of the other big three kapara elements, teshuvah elements, which is called Sol Mamon. Praying, using your voice, confessing. Psalm is fasting, and Mamon is tzedakah. When you take those elements, you might come up with, we need another way to look at it, tefillah, chesed, and Torah. It's another way to achieve atonement. So tonight's subject, everybody settled in now? Okay, good, now I can start. All the stalling is over. Chesed. We don't usually think of chesed at this time of year. Somebody go chase the kids away from the door. Party somewhere upstairs. That chesed
sent the right messenger. Chesed is mechaper avonot, which most people don't think of it that way. We think of a korban, a sacrifice, an offering, brings atonement for sins. But we don't think really of chesed. Chesed is nice to do, we all like it. He has a good heart, he does a lot of chesed, or he's a president of Pikul Chalim, he's a good guy. You know, we all like chesed. We all know chesed is a positive thing, we know it's the midah of Avraham, but we don't think of it as kaparat avonot. When the crystal bowl falls off the table, and the sitor, which in the other language is the bubby, says kapara, oh, we paid for our sin because Hashem took the crystal ball at a cheap price. That's how we think of atonement. Car gets stolen, somebody tells you, kapara, don't worry about it. But do we think of doing chesed of kapara? Probably not. So let me read you something. This comes from Avot Rabbi Natan, which is a Pirkei Avot version. At the end of Seder Nezikin in the Gemara in the back. Pamachat, one time. Hayah Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Yitzei Yerushalayim. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the leader of the generation, was going out from Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yoshua Elecha Harav. And Rabbi Yoshua was walking behind him. So you have two giants of the generation. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yoshua. And they're leaving Yerushalayim. Now what happened? Ra'abet HaMikdash Harev. They lived at the time of the destruction of the temple, and they see the temple in ruins. Rabbi Yosha opens the conversation. Oy lanu al zeshu harev. Woe is to us. Woe is to us. This building that is destroyed. Mekom, makom shimchaparim bo avonotem shisrael. The place where the sins of Israel achieve atonement. Of course he meant, there's a korban chatat, bring a korban, you make the vidui, you put your hands on top, somech, makes vidui, kapara! Amalo, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, gedol ador, turns him and he tells Rabbi Yoshua, Bini, my son, al yira'lach, don't be too concerned. Don't feel bad. Al yira'lach, more like don't feel bad. Yesh lanu kapara acheret shehi kimota. There's another kapara, and it's just like it. Kimota. And what is it? Ze gemilut chesed, doing kindness. Shneemar ki chesed chafati lo zarach. Hashem says to the prophet, I want chesed, I don't want korbanot. Powerful statement. Here we have Beferush, an Avot Rabbi Natan, which is a Mishnah level by Tanaim, that tells us if a person is involved in Chesed, it's Kaparat Avonot. How much Kapara? Just like a Korban. Just like an offering or a sacrifice. Because the Gemara and the Mishnah of Rabbi Natan says, it's kemota, it's like it. Not only that. In Gemara Sukkah it says, Gadol ha'oseh tzedakah yoter mikol ha'korbanot. One who does tzedakah does an act that's greater than bringing all the korbanot. So first, I made a pretty outlandish statement. It's the same as korbanot. And the Gemara comes along and one-upmanship says it's better than all the korbanot. So that brings me to three questions, which will be the basis for tonight's discussion. What is it about chesed that gives it the ability to bring kapara, to atone for sins? Alright, a person ate taref on Monday, and they helped a little old lady cross the street on Wednesday. What's the connection between washing the lady across the street and wiping out the sin? I don't get it. Do you? Good. Question number one. Number two. It says, blanket statements. Chesed is mechaper.
How could something be mechaper? You make a blanket statement if it doesn't have those elements we discussed at 10 minutes ago. Charata, regret, remorse, vidui, resolve not to do it again. You do chesed, kapa, whatever, teshuvah. Second question. Third question. And this really helped me decide what I want to speak about tonight. There are people who think, if I do chesed, I can do whatever I want besides. If you're a good person with chesed, if you're on Hatzalah, you can do whatever you want. Other averot, I do my best. Sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't do it. Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm religious, Monday and Wednesdays I'm not. But I do chesed. So, I saw in the book of Arav Shwadron, the Magid of Yerushalayim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away a couple of years ago. Maybe 3 years ago now, four. He writes, Im kach hu adavar, if such is the matter that we're saying that chesed is mechaper, hare yachol adam avor, it would be possible, if it's just a blanket statement, the way we're understanding it so far, la'avor akol avorot shebat Torah, a person could violate all the sins in the Torah, chas v'shalom. La'asot kechol ha'oleh aruchot, do whatever he feels like, pardon my loose translation. Umeidach, and from the other side, la'asok b'gmilut chesed, get involved in doing chesed. Tareshov Rabbi Ado, he's got a receipt. Chesed, nimchalim lo kol avotav. I have a receipt, I did chesed. Every chesed I did, watch out of sin. Says the Magid, Hayitachen, is that possible? And that's our third question. So my blanket statement was a very wonderful chidush, very novel idea. It is from Chazal, so it is valid. And yet we're stuck with three questions. What is the ma'ala of chesed, what is great about chesed that enables it to do this? Secondly, how can it accomplish this without the basics of teshuvah? And third, does that really mean that a person do whatever they want, and so long as they do chesed, they have a clean record? Which is impossible. Good, question's finished. All by 10 after 9, that's not bad. Let's turn to Gemara and Shabbat. Abba Shaul Omer. Abba Shaul says, Heve Dome Lo. You're supposed to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't mean you should all be invisible. Different way. Mahu Hanun Verachum, Afata Haya Hanun Verachum. Just like Hashem gives freely and is merciful, has compassion, you too should give freely and have compassion. So, what's expected of a person in regards to chesed is besides doing the action that we call chesed, besides that, is to be domelo, is to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means you can't just do it when it comes along. Hey, nice to see you here. Somebody falls down, you help them up. You're not out looking for it. You're not changing into a Baal Chesed. Your bones are not made of Chesed. Your blood doesn't flow Chesed. Just doing an act of Chesed, that's not enough. Domeh lo means you have to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a creation that's made of chesed. Your essence has to be chesed. Hashem is rachum v'chanun. It doesn't say he does chesed. It says he is Rachum v'Hanun. And when the Torah commands us to be domelo, be like him, well, if you're going to be like him, you have to become essentially a body that's made up of chesed. It's in your bones. So what's the difference between someone who does kindness and someone who is Rahum ben Hanun? Well, someone who does chesed, me and my kids have a favorite expression, when somebody does something we don't expect them to do, we tell them, what's your motive? That's not you. You don't do that. You must have something. You know what I mean. You're not getting me. Would you like a glass of water? What's your motive? You don't bring water. You know what I mean? Daddy, would you like me? No, what do you want? How much is this going to cost me? This glass of water costs a lot. What's your motive? A person who just does chesed. That means not the good person we're trying to be, but the one who does good. The oseh chesed, we're going to call them. Usually does chesed for one of three reasons. Get out your pens, I'll give you the three reasons. First reason. Sometimes a person is in a position to do kindness to another, and they do. You know why? Motive. I might need this person one day. So if I do good for them, one day, they might just do good for me. It's a motive. Another, second reason. Somebody sees a downtrodden person dressed very shabbily. No food. Rachamim, mercy and compassion awakens. And so he says, well, he's got a need. It's easy for me. I'll fill it. Not extra, not less. Now, give him a donut. Give him a bagel. Third, a person may do chesed not because they have mercy on the other person, because they have mercy on themselves, they can't stand to see suffering. I know a lot of people like that. They love dogs and cats, and they can't, you know, they can't stand to see anybody uncomfortable or suffering, and so they run to do. And say, isn't she so nice? She does so much for everybody else, and really she's doing for herself, but she can't stand to watch it. I know a person, can't stand to hear a baby cry. So you go into a Walmart, 75,000 square foot store, and she hears a baby crying. She says, who's crying? Some baby. Why is the baby crying? I don't know. The mother's right there. Why is she letting it cry? I don't know. Want to ask her? We'll go do an interview. Hi, welcome to Walmart. Why is your baby crying? But if that person did anything for that baby, you know I would be? Not that the baby needs something I want to give the baby. I can't stand to hear babies cry. I give the baby something. And some people are that way when it comes to chesed. To get me the discomfort off myself, I get rid of the other person's suffering. Three good reasons?
Three good reasons.
Aval, however, the Baal chesed, the Hanun and Rahum person, feels compassion for no reason. There's no motive. Because in the same way, Shakadosh Baruch Hu is Rachum v'Hanun. That's the way he, with a capital H, is. That's the ideal a person should try to reach in trying to be domelo. So our simple chesed that wipes out sins is becoming more difficult to achieve. Those who learn know the story of Abraham and Sarah. had a wonderful life together. The Midrash tells us that when Abraham took Yitzchak to Akedah, Sarah died because the Satan told her, or because the Satan showed her a DVD of the scene, or whatever happened, she died, some connection to the... And then the next parasha is Ayuchaya Sarah, and you have the whole negotiation of Abraham Avinu with the Bnei Chet to acquire a burial plot and bury his wife. And all the Midrashim and all the Chazals relating to Abraham's behavior at that time in his life, that horrible time, the age of 137, burying his wife, is called Chesed Shel Emet. It's not kindness, it's true kindness. And when you think about it, and if you spent a few minutes looking at the Midrashim and all that's written about the great act of chesed that Abraham did in burying Sarah, you say, big deal. The husband buries his wife. Is that like an obligation? Doesn't he feel for her? If it was a stranger, he would do it. So Abraham went out and bought a burial plot for his wife. When you think about it, what a Chazal making such a big deal about? But Chazal wanted us to realize that when anybody does chesed for a niftar, for someone who no longer is on this earth alive, they don't expect repayment. They don't expect anything back. And there's no rachmanut. What compassion? They're gone. You're not relieving suffering. Although they say the neshama suffers at that time until it's properly buried. Why is the person doing it? Because Hashem Siva? Okay. You're a robot. You're doing a mitzvah. That's chesed shel emet. No motive, no payback. No relief of suffering for you or for them. It's plain. There's a midrash that proves this point. Reshit Rabbah. V'acharei ken kavar Abraham. Abraham then buried Sarah. Rodef tzedakah v'chesed. Quotes the pasuk in Mishlei. The one who chases after tzedakah, charity, and chesed, kindness. Yimsa Chaim tzedakah v'chavod, will find life, charity, and honor. Rodef tzedakah is who? Says the Midrash, the Abraham. The chesed, shegama chesed l'sara. Yimsa chayim, and it gives his age. So the Kaaba, wait a minute. Amar b'shuev b'yitzhak, amar lo akadosh baruch hu. You know what Hashem told Abraham at that moment in his life? Ani umannuti gomel chasadim. I am one whose expertise is to do kindness. Tafasta umannuti. You've latched on, you understood, and you started doing what I am expert at. Bo levosh levushi, Abraham zaken baba yami. Hashem praised Abraham for being just like him. Not when he made the Akedah, not when he prayed for Sodom, not when he threw out Yishmael, not when he was thrown into the fiery furnace, when he buried Sarah. Because that wasn't chesed. All the people that he took in, the three angels that he took in, when he was suffering from the operation of Mila, all of that is good. It's not chesed shel emet. It's not being chesed. Only when there's no motive, no payback, and no relief of suffering is someone doing chesed like Hashem does it. another place, very similar, where the Torah refers to a chesed of emet. Rabbi Azariah omer, chesed ze Moshe. Moshe did true chesed. Sha'asa chesed em Yosef. He did a kindness with Yosef. Now Yosef died before Moshe was born. The emet ze Aaron. Dichtiv Torah emet yayayta b'fihu. Moshe did chesed when with Yosef? When he carried his bones out of Mitzrayim. Yosef was dead for a very long time, over 200 years, when Moshe did the chesed with his bones. That was the chesed of emet. Everything he did for the Jews to relieve their suffering, all the kindnesses he must have done that we don't read about, the fact that he saved the daughters of Lot, the fact that he was one who was constantly jumping up to help people. Like it says in the Midrash, he helped each and every person carry their bricks and make their stones and do their work. The prince of Egypt getting off his chariot to do it. The Torah doesn't say, look at the Baal Chesed who's in the pits with the slaves. Look at Moshe, he carried the bones. Because the other is doing Chesed. But when there's no payback that you know of, when there's nothing but just a love of chesed, then it becomes, you are chesed. It's a chesed of emet. I just use a phrase I want you to understand. You have to love chesed. Chafetz Chaim has a book, sefer, called Ahavat Chesed. You have to love chesed. You have to love chesed just because. So why does it bring kapara? Why does it bring kapara? It's a brit keruta ben Hashem la'amo. It's a covenant Hashem made with His people. And He reveals it in a very special place, in the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah. There's a section, the Zayin, several Dapim of Gemara, where rather than halachot, the Gemara speaks of Agadah, about prayer, teshuvah, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, how it works. And then it quotes the pasuk that we say so many times over and over on Yom Kippur. Vayavor Hashem apanav vayikra. Hashem passed in front of him and he cried out. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains what's going on. Ilmale mikra katuv. Were it not for the fact that this pasuk was written, I can't tell you what I'm going to tell you. I can't say it. I can't say it. You're not allowed. Milamed, it teaches us a very unusual scene. Shenit'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishaliach sibur. Hashem put a talit on his head like the chazan. Ve'er'ah lo leMoshe seder tefilah. And he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to pray. Amar lo. And then he gave him instructions. Kol ziman sheYisrael chotin, any time, that includes now, any time that Israel makes sins, ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh, they should do like this program I'm showing you, this order of tefillah, v'ani mocheh lahem, and I will forgive them. What did he tell them? Amonai, Amonai, El Rachu Mechanun, El Chapaim. Same thing we say. Hashem told them, tell them to do it. Could you imagine? What a formula. I'm surprised Robin doesn't have it laminated in a pocketbook. You have it laminated in your pocketbook? I found something not in your pocketbook, Robin. If that's the answer to mechilat, all of the avonot that a person does, to put a talit on your head and stand up and say vaya avor, I wouldn't do it only Kippur. I'll do it every Monday and Thursday, every day. Every minute. You do something wrong, bingo, pull out the card. Say it again. By the way, it can only be said with a minyan. If you want to say it alone, you have to read it like a pasuk with ta'ani. Even during the prayers. Even if you're in a room with a minyan and you're behind in the silly chod and you want to catch up, if you're reading it alone, you should say it with ta'ani. Right, Joe? But the Mefarshim point out, like a lot of other sigulot, there's a trick to it. But I'll tell you another sigula I have right here. There was a Hasid who went to his Rebbe, the Rishoner, and he had a complaint. I love sigulot because people are very into them. You don't see any red strings on my wrist. You never will. I don't believe that is a sigula. Meaning that's my rabbi. There are sigulot that are legitimate. I don't believe that's one of them. But, forget that. I don't want to get involved now. Now it's on tape. Oh my goodness, the telephone. He goes to the Rebbe. He tells the Rebbe, I got a complaint. 4 or 5 years ago, it was right before the Yamim Noraim, right before the High Holy Days, and you told us a sigula. Anybody wants money? Anybody here? Anybody wants to be rich? Not just some money. Rich? If they have kavanah in Kiddusha, which means kadosh, 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 whether it's keter yitzunacha, nakishach. If they have kavanah and that kedusha on the high holy days, they will be rich. Rebbe, you gave me the sigula. I was turned on. I went to shul. I had kavanah. And the first year I was still broke. I came back the second year, and the third and the fourth, and every year. I have kavanah and kedusha. I think about being rich. No lottery. I don't have a job. I can't even eat out. I can't even eat. And you promised me wealth. Where's the sigula? So the Rebbe answered him, Ana Rebbe ve'amalo, emet hi shezo sigula. It's true that this is a sigula. Aval a sigula, this particular secret formula works l'mi shemechaven rak b'kedusha l'parnasa. Thinks of having money only during kedusha. And in the rest of the prayers, kesef doesn't enter their minds. But with you, while you're praying the beginning, the middle, and the end, kesef, kesef, kesef. You're thinking, money, honey, money, honey, money, honey. Mommy needs a new pair of shoes. The baby needs a new X5. The other one needs a Cayenne. I got 4 daughters. Each one wants a different car. Each one wants a different necklace, a different watch. I need the money, honey. And you're thinking money not only in Kiddusha, you're thinking money all the time. That's not a sigula. You ruin the sigula. So when we say, if you read the Yagmidot, the Gemara says, you will be nimhal of all avonot at any time in history, that's not what the Gemara says. Because the Mefarshim come and tell us, to watch the words. Read my lips. Hashem told Moshe, any time call the man she Israel hot in, makes sense. Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh. They should do the 13 attributes, not say the 13 attributes. How do you do 13 attributes? To become like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mitzvah, as a matter of fact. Halachta bedrachav. Go in his ways. Mahu rachum. Hashem is compassionate. You must become compassionate. Mahu chanun. Hashem is giving. He gives freely. You have to be one who gives freely. And not just do it. Be like him. Become that way. In other words, it has to become second nature. In fact, it has to become first nature. Ya'asu kaseder hazeh. And if they do become that way, then the chesed that they do erases sins. It brings forgiveness and it brings kapara. You got to become an expert. Confess it. There's a sefer in English. I don't like plugging books, but I believe in this project a lot. So we'll plug it. It doesn't cost me anything. It's called Loving Kindness. That's the cover. It's a picture of the Chafetz Chaim on it, although it says Chafetz Chaim on top. Or Chafetz Chaim, depending how you read it. Daily Lessons in the Power of Giving. And it's based on a sefer written approximately 100 years ago by the Chafetz Chaim called Ahavat Chesed. The Love of Chesed. And in the true tradition of Art Scroll and the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, they made it a daily program. It has a calendar, which just happens to begin on Rosh Hashanah, which happens to be 11 days away. So you have time to go out and buy it and study page one and get ready. Leaf through the beautiful, beautiful introduction and see the way the system works and prepare yourself to go through this sefer twice a year so you can incorporate its lessons. Two things I want to tell you from your Lord. It's chock full. One story you might have heard. Says, I believe Rabbi Fran used it on the Tisha B'Av video. So those of you who saw the Chesed video on Tisha B'Av this past August. The lesson of this particular day, which happens to be day two, which will be the Sunday of Rosh Hashanah this year, is that a person with enough self-discipline and persistence can force himself to perform an act of chesed, even if he has no real desire to do it. A more difficult task is to force oneself to love chesed, when feeling doesn't seem to be present in one's heart. This is a far greater challenge, but it cannot be an impossibility, because the Torah never commands the impossible. Therefore, one must assume that within each Jew dwells the capacity to love chesed, even if a person must dig deeply within himself to search for such an emotion. And then comes the story. Rav Yonam, famous Hasid, spent his early years of life as a businessman. And in his travels, he tried to always bring people closer to Hashem. One time, he stopped in an inn. It was a cold night. There was a storm outside. And the owner of the inn was a Jew. And it was pretty quiet because of the storm. And this innkeeper had an opportunity to fish elbow, we say, to get things off his chest, to complain a little bit, to kvetch. I don't know what language you speak here. I got all kinds of people here. But he wanted to sit down and complain a little bit. He got the Rebbe there. Let's go. And he starts pouring out his heart, how he has this inn, how bad business is. He doesn't know if he's going to make it. The peasants no longer came to him. He has vats of liquor downstairs in the storehouse, untouched. And the landlord who owns the inn is very impatient for the rent. And Rav Dunam tried to console him a little bit. And then he sat down alone to sit and learn at the table. In the middle of the night, there was a loud knock at the door. And a traveler, drenched from the storm, freezing, begged the innkeeper to take him in. But he told him the conditions. I have no money. This guy is good. He gets one customer and he has no money to pay with. That's like the Ibn Ezra used to say, if I made funeral shrouds, people would stop dying. This is a business. I got an inn. Somebody needs a bed and a room, except he has no money. The innkeeper looked at this person, and although he had no money, he took him in. He gave him a change of clothing. He gave him a room for the night. And the man, shivering, turned to the innkeeper and made a request. Could you please give me a glass of vodka? He wanted to warm the insides. Forget the fireplace on the outside. But remember, I have no money, but I'm very cold. The innkeeper went down to the basement for the first time in weeks to get out a drink. He didn't notice that Rav Bunam was watching him. He poured a cup from a big vat. He looked at it and he smashed it down on the floor. Took a different glass. Second, third, fourth. Each time he looked at it, smashed it down on the floor. Finally, on the fifth or sixth cup, he said, "Now." And he proudly marched to the guest and he gave him the vodka. The Rebbe couldn't figure out what was going on here. Here's a man losing money on the cup. He broke five cups, six cups before he actually gave the man the cup. And what was wrong with the first cup? It all came from the same vat. And if the last cup was good, the first cup should have been good. So he asked, "Could you explain to me your behavior?" He told him, "I couldn't serve a guest a drink if in my heart there was a little bit of resentment. Resentment, how could he ask me to give it to him for nothing? And disappointment, I finally got a customer and he has no money. Instead, I should be feeling happiness that Hashem sent me someone who needs something that I have. And I can do an act of chesed. For no motive, for no reason, for no profit. Just to be nice. I should have been dancing up and down. And so when I took the first cup and felt that in my heart, I broke it. And when I took the second cup and realized the feeling wasn't gone, I broke it. And it wasn't until I poured a cup that I felt no disappointment and no resentment, only happiness to do the mitzvah, that I said, now I could serve the drink." That's Ahavat Chesed. But I want you to be selfish. Because time is short. We're in the season of Teshuvah. And we're in the month of Rachamim, but we're approaching the day of Din. We're in the month of compassion and mercy, but we're approaching the day of strict judgment. And we pray all day, Hashem, please get off the Kiseh Din and go on to Kiseh Rachamim. Get off the throne of strict justice and get on the throne of compassion. Okay. But I'll give you something that's not a sigula. I'll give you something that works to use now. There's 11 days left. There's a parasha in the Torah. By parasha, I mean a subject, not what we call Bereshit Shemot Vayikra. It's called Eir HaNidachat. It's a city in which the people turn against the Torah. And the law is that if there's a verdict of the high court, the sages of the time, that this city fulfills the requirements to call it Eir Nidachat, the judgment is other Jews must come and wipe out the entire city, all the people in it, and make the property cherem, not get any benefit from it, leave it as cherem. Untouchable. And the destroyed city shall never be rebuilt, tel olam. Remains a mound of destruction. And then the Torah says, V'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha. Hashem will give you rachamim, and He will have mercy on you. And over there, the commentators, especially Rashi, brings that Hashem is telling the people, don't be afraid of this mitzvah. Why should I be afraid of mitzvah? I have some Ashkenazic friends here tonight, but we had a guy came into the shul the other day, and they were collecting the quarters, shaking their hands with the quarters. And everybody gave him a quarter. Guy go with the Skele Mitzvahs, the Skele Mitzvahs, the Skele Mitzvahs. So he went over to one Sephardic guy and he told him, he gave him a quarter, the Skele Mitzvahs. He said, I'm not scared of Mitzvahs. Why do you keep saying that to everybody? Well, the Torah says, don't be scared of this mitzvah. Why not? Because a person who behaves in a cruel way, what we call achzar, becomes cruel. In other words, if you do mean things on a regular basis, you're no longer just a doer of mean things, you become mean. So the Torah tells us, listen, I'm giving you a mitzvah, you gotta go slaughter people. You gotta go destroy property. Because the Torah said that's what you have to do. But I know you're concerned of the outcome to your neshama and your behavior. You're afraid. Maybe I'll become that way. So comes the Torah with a promise. Don't worry. I'll give you rachamim. I'll break the rule. And I will make you, I will have mercy on you. Very nice. A guarantee from Hashem that although those people would act achzarim, cruel, they won't become cruel. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Two things about this pasuk that have to do with tonight's subject. One, you never know. You never, ever know why that person is knocking on your door. I know it's dinner time. I know you just fell asleep on the couch and they woke you up. I know it's too late to take phone calls from yeshivas. I know. I feel the same way. I went to that government site. I don't want to be solicited. When I'm not ready. But you know something? You never know. I don't want to spook you. But this pasuk tells us that maybe a person needs kapara. Maybe a person is in a situation where Hashem is planning to inflict upon that person a punishment. A broken leg, a disease, a financial loss, or worse. Maybe, just maybe. But Hashem has mercy. What does He do? He says, if this person will do a chesed, it'll tip the scale. We read you not too long ago, when all of you were here. What did it say? The Beit HaMikdash doesn't exist. There's a kapara acheret. Gemilut chesed. We also read that gemilut chesed, person who does chesed, mochalim lo avonotav. Hashem says, I have a gezerah, I have a decree on this person. You know what I'll do? I'll give him one chance. I'll give him a chance. I'll give her an opportunity. I'll send someone who's destitute and let him fall flat right in front of that person. And let's see what the person does. If the person does the chesed, if the person acts with rachamim, I'll do the same. But not for the person who's destitute, for the one who performs the act of kindness. V'natan lecha, v'natan lecha rachamim. Do we have the tamim now? Hashem will put before you someone who needs mercy. V'richamcha, and the result will be Hashem will have compassion on you, the doer. How important is chesed now, before Rosh Hashanah? How important? Did you have an opportunity and you blew it today? You're a little tired, a little impatient. You just spent more than you wanted on a holiday outfit. Now somebody comes to the con, you feel broke so you don't give it. You just came from the butcher, lo aleinu. Unbelievable. A ruba is $45, small one. Ruba is a roast. If you translate it, you know. Without the stuffing, right? Without the preparation, just raw. So you think about it. How many opportunities did I have? I just wasn't in the mood. I didn't grab it. I didn't do it. And who knows? Woo! Why was that person sent to me? From now on, think about it. V'natan lecha rachamim. When He puts that person in front of you, grab it! Rachamim for you. That's selfish. That's not the ideal I talked about. But it's good. Because that works. I'll tell you another thing. The converse or the corollary of the Irani Dahat case is very important. The people were afraid to do the mitzvah because if I do one single act of brutality, I might change to become more brutal. Right? Isn't that what I explained? You trust me? That's what it means. But imagine every time you do a kindness, what happens to you? You become more, well, you become kinder. Not more kind. You become kinder. You become more gentle. You become more caring. You're actually a nicer person after you do it than before you do. And I believe that it doesn't matter why you do it. If you did it because you can't stand to hear babies cry, or old ladies walk across the street as the cars zip by and you close your eyes, please, I can't watch. I see a lot of Mr. Magoos. People who walk around, disaster following them everywhere, ladders falling and cars crashing all over, because they don't take care. And I go, I can't watch. So because I can't watch, I remove the danger, I remove the discomfort, and I do a chesed. It's okay, it makes you better. And if you do it because you think, someday I might need this person, they'll pay me back. Don't let the Yetzirah say, I went to Raymond Bader's class, I know that's not your chesed. I'm not going to be sketched. If it ain't perfect, I ain't doing it. No, do it! Because it'll make you better. And it'll make the next one easier to do. And the next one, and the next one. Until mitoch shelo lishma yavo lishma. You'll transform from a regular nice person like we are into someone whose etzem, whose essence is ahavat chesed. Someone who can't give the drink if I don't think it's perfect. Someone like Abraham Avinu, who Hashem felt bad, so to speak, because Abraham was sick, so he made it so hot so no guests would come. And Abraham went outside the tent, sat in the sun in the heat of the day, feeling badly. I know that's more correct than the last thing I said. Feeling badly that there are no guests. How could me, Abraham Avinu, live a day without chesed? I love chesed. Some of us love chocolate. We can't live a day without chocolate. Some of us love shopping. We can't go a day without shopping. I want you to feel that way about chesed. I can't go a day without chesed. That's the book. Every day to change to be more chesed. And by the way, this book also has step by step. Today I will ascertain whether I have a methodical means for portioning money specifically for chesed. If I know someone needy who is encountering expenses of brit, wedding, or other major event, I will offer some of my tithe money to alleviate the financial strain. I will become more conscientious about returning borrowed items as soon as I finish with them. If I am in a situation which people are making public pledges, I will clear my mind of any negative thoughts about those who seem to be giving less than they could. If there are rabbis, teachers, lecturers, others, learned people who travel to my community, I'll make an effort to offer them hospitality. Every day it offers you something to think about. How can I become better? In fact, I want to go to page 71, dedicated by me in memory of my mother. Let's see what the suggestion is. If there is something I could have done for someone recently, but I didn't, today I will try to rectify the situation. Thank you, Mom. It's a good idea. It's a job. It's a project. But it's so well worth it. Chesed has the power to bring kapara more than all the korbanot. But it has to be an act of chesed like Hashem does it. An act of chesed done by someone who has ahavat chesed, whose essence is kindness. And someone who is a child of Abraham Avinu must perform chesed. Olam chesed yibare. It keeps the world running. Before the Torah was given, the only reason for the world to exist was chesed. For 26 generations, there was no Torah from Adam to Moshe. And without Torah, im lo b'riti shamayim v'aretz, chukot shamayim v'aretz, or something, there's no reason for the world to exist. No batteries. So how did it exist? Olam chesed yibane. And those of you who say the Hodu before Baruch Shamar, Ki olam chasto, Ki olam chasto, Ki olam chasto, there's 26 of them. Because David HaMelech had in mind the 26 generations in which chesed held up the world. And in these times of trouble, when we're weak in so many things, and we have the heart to do chesed, we have to transform ourselves from doers of chesed to people of chesed, people who are chesed. If we do that, Hashem has a request from us. It's a very simple request. Manai Ahovai, it says in Tanah de Be'eliyahu, Ma ani mevakesh mikem, what do I want from you? That you'll love each other, that you'll take care of each other, to get rid of the sin'ah, the tachrut, the competition, the jealousy, and just take care of each other. When Hashem sees the family playing nicely together, it's like that once a year time when a father could sit down reading a sefer and see the children playing nicely. And he just smiles and says, boy, I wish my kids were always like that. That's what Hashem wants from us. I guarantee it. It can bring you success on Rosh Hashanah. Prelude the prayers with the chesed, and you hear that song, Hashem will give us all a positive judgment this Rosh Hashanah. Amen.